The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thanks, Rod. Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to be able to gather again this morning. For those of you who weren't here last week, or, in fact, for all of you who missed the 8 o'clock service. Last week we got to celebrate baptisms, and at the 10 o'clock service we celebrated the baptism for Ethan. At 8 o'clock we had Alza and Lindley Cooling. And it's sometimes fun to be able to go back and capture again the joy and excitement and enthusiasm of baptism. So let's just take a moment. This was Alza's baptism. For those who aren't familiar, we've got a baptismal font that just, or tank that sits just under the stage here. And just look at the joy and delight in Alza's baptism. Now, for Lindley, Lindley had not been baptised as an infant, and just in the last couple of years had come into a very deep and personal relationship with the Lord. And this was Lindley's response when we asked him why he chose to be baptised.
God said it's time. That's it.
God said it's time. That's it. What a beautiful response. And so Lindley could not be baptised in the tank. And so as they did in the early centuries of the church, and as written about in the Didache, for someone who couldn't be baptised by immersion, they would pour on them with a jug of water. And so that's what we did here in the front of the church. Put a poncho over him. And then away we went. In the name of the Father. And of the Son. And a good dose of the Holy Spirit. And it was such an emotional and beautiful time for Lindley and for all of us who were here. What we shared in was really what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and a good dose of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so in this passage, we see God's word speaking to us about the significance of making disciples, the significance and beauty of people having made that faith decision, taking the next step of faith, which is baptism, that public declaration of their faith, and then having been called then to obey everything that Jesus commanded us to do. And see, that's what we saw for Lindley last week. God's word said, be baptized. He heard a word from the Lord saying it's time. And then, having heard from both Scripture and the Spirit, he then stepped out in faith to be obedient to what God asked him to do, and we all got to celebrate in that, and as you just saw, it really was a celebration. When I was reflecting on that, it reminded me of a message I preached a few weeks ago about one of our values, and that is being kingdom-minded. And in Kingdom Mind, we had a number of points, but one of these was being faithful to the Word of God, as well as led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so Lindley had been faithful to the Word of God, as we saw from Matthew's Gospel, as well as then to what the Spirit was leading him to do, and then taking that step of faith, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as a church, this is very much one of our values. We're a church that wants to be deeply grounded in the Word of God. We want to understand the Word of God and apply it in our lives, because the Holy Spirit will both bring the Word to life and lead us and guide us into the things that He would have us do. And so one of our other values is ensuring that our life experiences, passions and spiritual gifts are used to synergize with each other to release the kingdom of God. This morning I want to talk about one of the spiritual gifts, and I want to ground that in both the Word of God as well as the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the gift I'm going to talk about this morning is the gift of prophecy. Because over the last number of weeks, we've talked a lot about prophetic words that God's given to this church. And so I want to be grounded in Scripture this morning to unpack the basis of prophecy and then how we take a prophetic word and what we do with that. For some of you, you're going, oh, I know that. Okay, so in that case, take it as a refresher. For some of you, this might be newer information and you're not so familiar with it. And so we're all just going to start by taking the Word of God and unpack that to see how God takes us into the beauty of what the prophetic gift is. And so what is prophecy? Well, prophecy is hearing from God and communicating what God said to other people. One definition by a man called Chuck Pierce is it's speaking forth the mind of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now that definition is very much grounded in what the disciple Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So as followers of Jesus Christ, when you've put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's living in you, dwelling in you, giving you gifts. As we've just seen, prophecy is one of those gifts. The Holy Spirit will empower us. Now, one of the things Jesus said was, I am the good shepherd. And when he said that he was a good shepherd, he described it this way. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. When Jesus speaks, those who follow him hear him and hear his voice as the sheep hear the shepherd, and they can follow the way the shepherd is taking them. And so what we're seeing now is that not only are we, as believers of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, through that we also hear the voice of Jesus and we can step into what he's calling us to do. And again, as I said a few weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 2, but we have the mind of Christ. So if we can put this together, that we will recognize the voice of Jesus and we can know the mind of Jesus, that's what prophecy is about. To hear the voice of God, to know the will of the Lord and to step into that. So prophecy is hearing the voice of the Lord, it's knowing the mind of the Lord and being obedient to that, to speak it out or communicate that. And people often think that prophecy is always about foretelling the future. That is a part of it. But prophecy has many other aspects to it as well. One of those is confirmation. Sometimes you can be saying to the Lord, Lord, what am I meant to do about this? I think it's this, I'm not quite sure. And then suddenly someone brings a prophetic word. It mightn't be that they're saying to you, this is a prophetic word for you. But rather, they're speaking what they believe the Lord has shown them, speaking that into your situation, and you go, ah, that gives me confidence that what I thought I was meant to do, I am meant to do. So in that case, a prophetic word can be confirmation. A prophetic word can be much stronger than that. At times, a prophetic word is intended to actually bring correction into your life. You've been going this way and the Lord's saying, no, do this. Sometimes it's a word of caution. Sometimes it's a warning. But primarily it's given as an encouragement. An encouragement that if you're going that way, to come back to the Lord. One of the profound aspects of a prophetic word is it should always be grounded in love. And if we're going to look at the significance of prophecy and that idea that it's grounded in love, we're better to look than in 1 Corinthians. Because in 1 Corinthians, in chapters 12, 13 and 14, it takes us on a journey from what are the spiritual gifts through to how we're meant to use them in love. And so we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And it goes on now to name a number of the different spiritual gifts, including there, as I've highlighted, to another, prophecy. And then as it continues to list the spiritual gifts, it then finishes up with, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. So what we're seeing here is spiritual gifts are given for the common good, that they would benefit each person. And then the list of these spiritual gifts, and knowing that this is all given by the Holy Spirit. That's the basis of 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 13 is this beautiful chapter on love. It's used at many weddings because it's about love. But in the early verses of that chapter, it says this: if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. This is really important for us to remember. That although this may be a gift of the Holy Spirit, and however powerful that gift might be, if it is not coming from a heart of love, it is not what God intended it to be. It is without power. Prophecy must be used for common good, as we saw in chapter 12. It must be grounded in love. And then we get to the next chapter, chapter 14. And Paul writes this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So now we're seeing that the gift of prophecy is something that we should eagerly desire. It's something that we should be seeking and wanting. And then it goes on and says that the gift of prophecy is meant to be used for strengthening, for encouraging, for comfort and edification. Edification means to instruct or to guide or to direct. So as we look at these three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, we're seeing that this gift of prophecy is to be used for the common good. It's a gift of the Spirit. It must always be grounded in love. We are to seek after it. We're to yearn for it. And when we do that, when we yearn for it and we use this gift in love, it will strengthen, it will encourage, it will comfort people, and it will edify the church. That's the beauty of prophecy. That's how God intends it to be used. So how does God speak to us prophetically? Well, God can speak to us prophetically directly from Scripture. As we look through the Bible, we'll see there are many cases where prophecies have been recorded from the Old Testament and the New. And Peter, again, writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, said this: above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, prophecy is found consistently throughout Scripture, as recorded by prophets, written down for us to continue to read and see. Last week, I spoke about another aspect of prophecy. The week before that, I talked about the Passover in the context of its historical narrative, the way that the Jewish people would celebrate the Passover so that they would remember their history, they'd remember how much God loved them, they'd remember the power of God as he miraculously provided for them. Last week I then unpacked the Passover from the prophetic element. That when we see the Passover in prophecy, we now see that Jesus became the Passover lamb. We see that Jesus, when he took the matzah, the flatbread, which is pierced and striped, and he talked about, this is my body. The prophetic aspect of the Passover was now being played out in the bread. And when he took the cup of redemption, the third cup of the Passover meal, and said, this is my blood, he was declaring about his blood that would be shed on the cross for the redemption of the sins of all people. So in this way, we see an act such as a meal, was actually a really powerful prophetic declaration of the coming Messiah. Now, earlier I said that prophecy involves hearing the voice of the Lord and the mind of Jesus and then communicating what Jesus has said. So let's ask the question, if someone is hearing, how do you communicate that? Well, the most common way that a prophetic word is given is when it's spoken out, when it's declared verbally. And throughout the Old Testament, we see this. We see the major prophets in the Old Testament, people like Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. We see minor prophets like Joel and Hosea and Obadiah and several others who heard the word of the Lord and they spoke it out to the people of the Lord and to others and they wrote it down that it would be recorded. 2 weeks ago, I talked about a spoken prophetic word that has been really powerful in the life of this church. And it was a prophetic word that Herman spoke in October 2002, and it was that Rangeville would undertake a building program and the church would move into its new ministry facility debt-free. That was a spoken prophetic word. God continued to reveal the next step. And as he revealed that, we had to then take a step of faith. We had to be obedient to what the Lord was revealing to us. And what we saw was as we heard and we took a step of faith, the Lord would reveal the next part. And we would hear and take the next step of faith. And as we did that, we got to a place where the Lord provided, showed us this land. He provided the finances to buy this land. He took us on a journey over several years of seeing the funds raised and the building designed, of the building being built, and us moving in debt-free. That prophetic word, a spoken word from 2002, was fulfilled. God's word is not just given through the spoken context. It's also given through what I'm going to call the creative element, or the creative arts, if you like. I think a classic here is the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah's life was one of living out many of his prophetic teachings and prophetic words. So, for instance, we see in Jeremiah chapter 13, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and says, I want you to go and buy a new belt, a nice white linen one. And so Jeremiah goes and he buys a belt. And then the Lord says to him, I want you to go and bury that belt. So Jeremiah takes his belt off, I assume, and goes and buries the belt. And then sometime later, we don't know how long, the Lord says to him, I want you to go and dig up that belt. And it says that it was ruined and useless. He's going, well, that's probably a waste of a good belt. But he'd been obedient. And then, only at that stage, does the Lord give him the interpretation and says, this is what all that means. Now go and speak to my people. That was a creative way of him living out that prophecy. In the New Testament, staying with that belt theme, we see another example of a prophetic word being acted out in Acts chapter 21. This is the Apostle Paul, and we read here that he and his colleagues had been there a number of days. A prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Imagine someone came up to you and took your belt off you and then bound their hands and wrist with your belt. Would you remember that? Do you think those watching would remember that? You see, when someone acts out a prophecy, it captures our imagination. We remember it. And we're going, what's that about? And then when we hear the interpretation of it, again, it's more poignant. It stays in our memory. This is the beauty of the creative element of the prophetic. Last week, I showed a creative aspect of the prophetic. When I showed this painting. It was a painting that Pamela Philippa had painted. And she painted this in three stages. Just as in Jeremiah 13, we saw that the Lord called him to buy a belt, then bury a belt, and then dig up the belt. In this case, Pamela was in a morning service, and she saw the glory of the Lord. And as the glory of the Lord was shining all around, the Lord said to her, I want you to buy a canvas and paint that. And she started painting it. She got painted it so far, and the Lord said, stop. And so she stopped, and a couple of months later, again in a morning service, the Lord said to her, I want you to now take that painting and draw the next stage of the building on it. And so that's what she did. She got it out and she drew the next stage of the building on it. And then the Lord said, stop. And so she did. And then 2 weeks later, on September 19th, again in the morning service, the Lord said to her, obedience. Write the word obedience on the bottom of that painting. And so there's these three aspects where Pamela heard and then did as much as the Lord told her to do until he said stop, and then the next thing, and the next thing. I believe the Lord's saying to us through this painting that likewise there are steps of faith that we're meant to take. That we are meant to be obedient to what the Lord is speaking to us about, and I talked about that last week as we feel the Lord's leading us to get ready to build the next stage of the building. There are steps of obedience that we need to take in order to see the next stage of the building be designed, the finances released, and us to move into that for kingdom purposes. And as we are obedient, and as we step into that next stage, we will see the glory of the Lord being released in even greater ways. Now, there are other ways that prophetic words can be given, and the last one I just want to mention is that of dreams and visions. And God can speak to a person through a dream or a vision, and then they speak that out. And there are many cases of this. If we just take New Testament as an example, we see the Peter who's up on his roof, and suddenly all these unclean animals come down, and the Lord says to him, take hold of it and eat. And he goes, what? I've never eaten any of these unclean animals before. The Lord wanted to speak to him through that vision. We see the same thing later on in Paul's ministry. Paul's trying to work out what he's meant to do next, and he has this dream where the man from Macedonia comes into him in his dream and says, come to me, minister to me and our people. And so Paul wakes up and he says to his team, right guys, we're heading to Macedonia in the morning. Okay, because the Lord had spoken to him through that dream or vision. This morning, I want to take hold of a vision that was received and shared in this church on the 29th of January. And so that's where I'm going to be going in a moment. But before I do that, I want to also take you through some of the framework in which God speaks and us to take hold of that prophetic word and test, is it from the Lord? How do I know? How do I have a sense that if I'm going to, in the case of Paul, change my itinerary and go over here, or in the case of Peter, I'm actually going to eat something that I've never eaten before? They're pretty big shifts in mindset. Then we want to know that it is of the Lord. And so just three simple steps that we take. The first of these is that we want to check that the Lord is revealing it to us in the timing and in parts, if you like. And so first of all, I'm just going to go into this part where it says, often a prophetic word is given to us step by step. In other words, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. The Lord does not always give us the whole thing all at once. Wouldn't it be good if you knew everything that God wanted to do in your life? And then we could really try and get in and do it ourselves. No, the Lord says, let me show you this much. Take a step of faith. And the Lord says, let me take this next step of faith. Take the next step of faith. See, in prophecy, God's going to tell us the next thing that will help us grow or be encouraged or what to do next. And we know that if we are faithful to him, he will continue to reveal his will, his plan, his purpose. we see this happen really significantly for Abraham in the book of Genesis. God spoke to him and told him to leave the land of his father. What did Abraham do? He heard it and obeyed. And then the Lord said to him, "You'll have many descendants, as many stars in the sky." And he believed it, even though he had no descendants at that stage. And then when he finally did have a descendant, his son Isaac, the Lord said to him, "Are you willing to sacrifice your son for me?" And in obedience to God, he took his son and went to sacrifice him. But God did not allow him to do that. And we see the Lord speak to Abraham in Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." And so what we're seeing here is the Lord progressively revealed his plan to Abraham. Leave the land of your fathers. You will have many descendants. Go to another land. And each aspect of that prophecy only came after Abraham had been obedient to the previous thing the Lord had revealed to him. In other words, if God is speaking to us, we have to take steps of faith to see that being fulfilled. But as I said earlier, before you take a step of faith, you actually need to check, is this an accurate prophetic word? Is it a reliable prophetic word? These three aspects. First, does the prophetic word align with Scripture? A word from the Lord, a prophetic word from the Lord, will never contradict Scripture. It will always align with Scripture. Secondly, pray into it. Pray into it and say, "Lord, what are you saying to me through this?" Ask him for revelation. And secondly, ask, "Lord, if this is of you, bring me to that place of peace." In other words, does this prophetic word, according to what we saw earlier in 1 Corinthians, does it bring hope? Does it bring encouragement? Does it bring correction? Or does it bring despair and hopelessness? If it brings despair and hopelessness, it is not of the Lord. Because even a word of correction or rebuke given in love is always to lead us to, in hope, to where God wants to take us. Thirdly, seek the wisdom of godly people. Have people who you know and trust who can pray with you through that word and ask them what you think it means. And that's what we saw when we looked at the baptism service earlier for Lindley. He knew the word of the Lord, make disciples, be baptized. He heard the word of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, it's time, and then he was obedient to step into that. There's a lot more I could say. I've given you a really quick overview of a whole lot of aspects around prophecy. I've spoken about how God can reveal prophecy and how we should test it. When I worked at the university lecturing, I would often stand and give lectures on theory. And students would be able to take that theory and try and memorize it and whatever else. But for many of them, it wasn't until they got into the laboratory and they did it, and then they suddenly go, "Oh, that's what it's like. That's how it works. That's how they remember it." And so in the same way this morning, we're going to take a prophetic word now and apply these things that I've just been talking about to that prophetic word. And it was a word that was given here on the 29th of January, and a few of you have discussed it with me. To give context for those who weren't here, we've spent the last 8 weeks as a church going through who's God calling us to be as a church. What's God's call and plan and purpose? We spent a week looking at our mission, a week at our vision, 4 weeks on our values. We spent a week looking at the testimony of our past. We spent last week looking at what we believe God is calling for our future. Now, before all that started, at the end of that first service where I'd preached on mission, I'd finished the sermon. As we do at the end of every service, we stop and have a minute to reflect on what God's saying to us and what we're going to do about that. And I was just standing here with my eyes closed. I opened my eyes and here's Pamela. And she said, "I think I've got a word from the Lord." And I said, "Thank you. Would you come and share it?" And so she did. This is what she shared with us. "There's a fresh wind of the Spirit blowing across Rangeville. I saw a picture of Rangeville spinning and spinning. As it spun, there were old leaves being blown off, but fresh, new, green leaves were appearing. I am doing a new thing here, but be careful not to spray poison on the new growth. You'll know instinctively what I," this is the Lord speaking, "I, God, mean by that." So what have we done with that prophetic word? Well, first of all, we ask the question, does anything in this contradict Scripture? So we've looked at it from a number of angles, and no, we don't see anything contradicting Scripture. Secondly, we ask, is there a sense of peace in this word? In other words, does it bring admonishment? Does it bring edification? Does it instruct us and lead us and guide us into the future? And we believe it does. The third thing, then, is to seek input from godly people, wise people, in this process. And so what we've done is we've taken this prophetic word, and as I discussed it with Pamela and said, "What do you think it means?" as a person who brought this word. We then, as a ministry team, sat down as a whole team, and we spent time talking about this and praying about this and saying, "God, what are you saying to us?" Each month, for just over a year now, there's been a small group of people meeting every month to discuss and discover more about the gifting of the prophetic. And so we took this word to that prophetic group of about 12 people, and we sat down for an hour and a half and we went through this line by line and said, what do we understand God is saying to us? And then we also went to the elders, and as an eldership we talked about this and prayed about it. And through all of that we got really consistent interpretation of what we believe God is saying, and we believe this is an important word in season that God was giving to us at the start of a whole series where we're talking about who God's calling us to be and where is he calling us to go. So let me spend now a few minutes applying what we've learnt to this prophetic word. The first part, the fresh wind, is the Holy Spirit. As it says, there's a fresh wind of the Spirit blowing across Rangeville. There's a fresh wind which is the Holy Spirit. In other words, what's going to happen in the church is a move of God. The question is, will we welcome it? See, sometimes God is moving and it is possible to not align with it. It's possible to go, "I'm really uncomfortable with that. I don't like that." We've got to ask ourselves the question, do we accept that that God is wanting to move in the life of this church? Secondly, Rangeville is spinning and spinning. I don't know about you, but if ever I used to go on rides at the show, it wasn't good for those around about me. All right, I'd get off and I was giddy and dizzy and all of that stuff. Some people just don't like spinning, and yet here we're seeing that the church is spinning. In other words, it's being shaken up. And for some people, that's really uncomfortable. For some people, that may appear even forceful, and when you start seeing leaves fly off, you might think that's even destructive. And yet that shaking, that spinning, is actually a move of the Spirit. In other words, God is wanting to move across this church and bring some change. And the leaves are blowing off. They're old leaves. You know, this time of year, when you drive down the street, you start to see trees with their leaves starting to change colour. And it's beautiful, isn't it? See, at the start of the season, those leaves are bright and they're fresh and they're green and they're photosynthesising and they're producing energy to allow that tree to flourish. Their work is now done. They've done what they needed to do, and it's time for those leaves to drop. Now, some people heard this prophetic word and went, "Oh, leaves are falling off. Who's going to die?" The leaves aren't about people. Rest easy. It's not about people. It's about processes. Again and again, as we've prayed about this with many people, The consistent sense is that this is about processes. This is about the way we do things that God is wanting to bring change to. The Lord is showing us that the way we've done some things in the past have had their day. They were green, they were fresh, they were good in that season. But that season's coming to an end. And we need to change some of the ways we do things. I've told this story before, but I want to put it in a different context. When, just before I was married, before Kylie and I were married, I bought the car that I had dreamed of buying for a long time. It was a Subaru DL Enduro wagon. Little station wagon, four-wheel drive. I'd hoped to buy, in fact, I'd wanted to buy the Brumby Ute. But when I was going to get married, I figured I probably needed a car more than a ute. So we bought this wagon, and I loved it. It was really great for us, and it worked really well till we had two children. When we were expecting our third, and we couldn't put three car seats across the back, we upgraded to the Prado. Surely every guy's dreamed of a four-wheel drive, right? Like a real one, not like a little wagon, a real four-wheel drive. So we had that, and that worked really, really well for us. And then I had to let my ego go and sell the four-wheel drive and buy a van. And we drove the van until we had so many children that we needed a bigger one. And then we bought the Sprinter, which is a 12-seater van. And there was nothing wrong with the Enduro, with the Subaru. It was great. It was a great car. And it did everything I wanted it to do in that season. But as our family grew, its day was done. And we bought the next size car. And it worked really well for us. But as our family grew, we had to let that go and get a bigger one. We had to change what we thought about a car. We had to change our thinking around the purpose of the car and what that car could do. And then we had to sell that and buy the next one up. And so all of this was, there was nothing wrong with any one of those vehicles. They were good in their day. But their day was done as the family kept growing. And it's the same for a church. That if we're going to step into what God's calling us to do, we've got to let go of some of the ways we've done things and the mindsets we've had about those things in order to be able to step into the next thing that God wants for us. Does that make sense? And so this is part of the old leaves being blown off. Are we prepared to let go of some of the ways we've done things? But the good news is there's fresh, new green leaves appearing. Fresh new green leaves are needed for a tree to flourish. For it to grow well, it's going to need fresh new green leaves. As a church, as we continue to grow into what God's calling us to grow into, we're going to need new ways of doing things. Fresh ways of doing things. And so are we prepared to let go of some of the things that we used to do and start to step into some of the new ways that God's asking us to do that? New growth means new ideas, new concepts, new directions that enable the expansion of what God wants. Now, there's a challenge. And the challenge is that sometimes when you start stepping into new things, people go, I like the way we've always done it. Or these newfangled things. And the challenge is we've got to ask ourselves, are we willing to step into these new things without criticism, without cynicism? Because it is when we are unfairly critical or when we're cynical and even when we take offence, that is an ungodly offence, we can spray poison on the new growth. And this is this last part of this word. Be careful not to spray poison on the new growth. Be very careful that in our risk of criticising what is new, that we do not prevent the new thing God wants to do. It's a really important aspect we've got to take hold of. And then You will know instinctively what I mean by that. Instinctively means targeted. It means planned. In other words, we need to be intentional and focused on what God is saying to us in this season. Now, we believe this is a really important prophetic word for us in this season, because it was given the day we started this series on being who God's called us to be. In other words, the picture is showing us that God is wanting to move. Now, what's really important in this is that this was at the start of the series where we talked about mission, vision and values. God is not saying that we're going to change our mission or our vision or our values. We just spent 6 weeks talking about all them. God is not saying to change who you are. He's not calling us to change anything of our culture. But he is asking us, are we prepared to change the way we do things in order to see his kingdom come in a greater way, in order to see his name glorified in far greater ways? Because that's our heart, isn't it? Is to see God glorified, to see his kingdom come, to see many people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus and give their life to him and celebrate in baptism, as we saw those videos and celebrated here last week. To see a city that is reached. To see justice and mercy provided to people in this city who need justice and mercy on their side. That's what God calls the church to be. And that's what God's saying to us in this season, is how do we step into that? We step into that by hearing what God's saying and being obedient to that with a step of faith. And hearing and stepping into it. Always grounded in the Word of God. Always taking it back to the Word of God, but always being led by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit to what God wants for us. And so as we take our steps of faith, as we step into what God wants, I believe that God's going to show us more of his plans, more of his purposes. He's going to see the desires of our heart as a church to see people come into the kingdom, to see justice and mercy released, to see his name being glorified. And so, as we do at the end of every message, we're just going to take a minute to stop and pray into this as individuals. Just, what's God saying to me today? What's God saying? And what am I going to do with what I've heard? Father God, we give you thanks and praise. You're a Father who knows us, who loves us, who blesses us. You're a Father who leads us through your word and by your Spirit. And Lord, we are so thankful for who you are, for the love you have for us, and our response is that we want to love you more. We want to live our lives in complete alignment with what you would have, that we'd step into all that you intend for each one as an individual and for us collectively as a church, as a family, as your people. Lord God, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see, Lord, that your people are in the place wherever you've placed them, whether that be in their work, their home, their street, their community group. Lord, we want to see that when we live according to your ways, that, Lord, we are called to be a blessing. And we're to bless this city and this nation and wherever you would send your people from this church. That's our heart for kingdom, God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would guide us over this coming season, that, Lord, we take hold of the prophetic words you've given to us. You've given prophetic words in the past, and as we've stepped out in faith, we've seen them come to pass. Lord God, we pray that you continue to lead and guide us in this way. Because, Lord, we want to be exactly where you want us to be. Being who you've called us to be, and out of who we are, doing the things you want us to do. And so, Father, we pray this morning that we would be sensitive to you. We'd hear you so much more clearly. And we'd have the courage and the conviction to step out in faith into what you want. So, Lord God, I pray your blessing upon each and every person who's gathered here, each person who's live streaming with us or downloading this later on video. I pray, Father God, that your blessings would be poured out upon each and every person to be the person you intend them to be. And Lord, out of who they are, Lord, bless them in the places that you have for them. That, Lord, this world will be a better place because your people are right where you want them to be, living for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.